So finally, we're at the wedding rehearsal. And I always connect the wedding rehearsal and the wedding together. Because if the wedding rehearsal goes well, you just repeat it and don't worry about a thing. So let's talk about the wedding rehearsal. So get to the wedding location for the rehearsal. When you first get there, meet with the staff. You might be doing a wedding in someone else's church, for instance. So meet with the pastor if the pastor is there, or the sound system people. Get familiar with the sound system. Talk to the photographer. You know, you get a lot of insights about the venue and all that from photographers. Many times they've been at this very venue. Find out what the photographer is interested in, how you can help them. Sometimes the church has policies, and check with the staff if there's, you know, a policy about photography. And the videographers, clarify expectations. You know, do that first. Gather the bride and the groom and go over with them in 2 minutes what's going to happen. And what I mean by that is, well, what we're going to do is gather everybody together, and which one of you, or maybe you do it together, are going to introduce everybody. We're going to need that first. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go through a process that that is going to get everybody up front first, and then we're going to go to the lineup position. And again, I'm going to show you what you'll do next here, and then you can just in 2 minutes, because they're not going to be having much attention span. At most 3 minutes, 4 minutes at absolute most. So gather everybody, welcome, prayer, the bride and groom do the introductions. Then you just have a little moment of expectation. And the, and go down to, you know, weddings have been going on. Don't worry about it. Because some people are really stressed out. Try to help them see, we're not going for perfect. We're going here for meaningful. We're not, we don't have to do it right. We're just having a celebration. You know, and a lot of times if you just, if you smile and smile a lot, the air just sort of like calms down. So that's how you, so in the gathering, you start there. Then you're going to start the actual rehearsal practice by start rehearsal with everyone in the stage position. So the stage position. Place everyone at the stage position first. And the stage position is up front where the wedding is going to happen. And what I have found over the years by trial and error and reading and research and everything, and mainly by trial and error, is that start with everybody in the final position. Because if they are in the final position, somehow or other, it all goes better. If you start them in the back, and then you're going back and forth, and they can't see it, you want to give them the vision of where they're going to end up when the wedding ceremony is actually going to take place. And what I would suggest is when you do that is put tape down. Now, often you'll have a wedding coordinator, especially on larger weddings, to help you right now, and they've got the, and she or he has the tape to help you get that all done. If not, if there's no wedding coordinator, that's fine. Just have a little tape there and have somebody get a volunteer. There's plenty of people sitting usually in the around their spouses of bridesmaids or whatever to say, can you come over here and help me with putting tape down where somebody stands? Then once everybody is into stage position, what I suggest is that you call the bride over. Because, again, the bride is not in stage position because she's going to be escorted down by her father or someone else. You get the bride to be in your loop all the time unless the groomsmen, unless the groom is really in that position. But in general, the bride usually says, do you like that? And then this is where you get debate. So here's where you really want to have a tight rein on authority, that the bride or the groom, where they together make the decisions. So that's the first thing. Now let's look at lining, having the wedding party get in the lineup position. Okay, so now they've seen where they're supposed to go. So you've done that first stage position. So everybody, you know where you are? You got the tape down? All of that? Yeah? Okay, so now you're going to go into the lineup position. And I'll just go over these lists. You know, of course, the parents, grandparents are first. Next come the parents, except the father of the bride. Then the officiant and the groom. Usually when the wedding occurs, there will be a music change. So when you're doing the rehearsal, you know, usually there's that music change. If it's canned music or whether live music, all of that stuff happens right there. Next, the mother or others. If the mother is not chosen, mothers are not chosen to the lighting of the unity candle. They'll actually, after they're seated, you know, they will then walk up and light the candle. Then the wedding party stands in the desired order. The best man and the maid of honor are last. The flower girl, the ring bearers, going right before the bride. The bride and her father or escort are next. A music chain change often occurs, and the mother or the bride leads in standing. Brother of the bride leads in standing up and turning around when she hears the music change. Now, go over that again. I probably went over it way faster than I should have, but that's it. If you, everything's in the lineup. If you can get the lineup right, you got it. The only thing, let's go back here, is the grandparents that go in, next the parents, okay? Then the officiant and the groom line up, and usually there's a music change. Now, hold right there. The music change occurs, and the mothers or someone else light the unity candle, and they just go up. And they actually do this before the bride or the groom and the officiant, before you go up. But it's hard to put that on paper, but you're just waiting right there. So you're all lined up. You're waiting to go next because when the candles are lit. And why do they pick the mothers? Well, the mothers gave birth to both the bride and the groom. So it's sort of neat. So what I always say is when we're doing this, so the mothers are seated. And often the groom is often ushering the grandparents and the parents, but not the father, to their place. And then the groom comes back and stands with the pastor. Now that they're standing. Then right there, the music changes and the mothers hear the music change and they go up and they light the unity candles. See again, exactly how to put that, I'm not sure, but I think you got the idea. So then what happens is the officiant and the groom walk down together. You know, the music again has changed. And then they get into position where they are turning back, watching the bridesmaid and the groomsmen walk in together. Okay, and now the alternate way to do this is that the pastor, the groom, and the groomsmen all come in with the pastor and get their position. That's the alternate way. And then the bridesmaid, one by one, come in. Then the flower girl or the ring bearer, boys, they come in. And then comes the bridal processional. Again, these are all things to talk about. Ideally, you want to talk about some of these things at the two-month meeting before. I didn't want to have to repeat this again. But again, it's the same stuff. But you're in this class now. You can kind of organize it how you want to organize it. But these are some of those details. What I like to do is, you know, I like to ask them, do you want the couples to come in? Or do you want people individually to process in. Oftentimes I'll ask that 2 months earlier and they don't know. And it's at the rehearsal that they finally know. So I just bring this to the rehearsal and say, okay, so now we've talked about these things you want. What do you envision? And I usually find by the wedding day, they know exactly what they want. And that's fine. But both of those options. So the grandparents line up first. And there is some music playing there. Next come the parents, except the father of the bride. And the groom is usually escorting the grandparents and the parents, except the father of the bride, in there. So then the groom comes back, stands with the officiant. The music changes. The music changes. The mother or others practice lighting. They will practice lighting the unity candle. And the next day, they will light the unity candle right there. Then after that, the wedding party, they're standing in the desired order. The best man and the maid of honor are last. Then they proceed in. And, you know, on that whole, when they proceed in, slow, slow, slow. Because the photographer wants to get good pictures. So one thing, and you've got a beautiful place to be here. So you're standing with the groom and it's in rehearsal. And if they're going too fast, say, hold, slow down, make it fun. Slow down. It's just kind of slow down, you know, slower. Okay. Now the next day, they're going to be nervous. It's going to be faster, but get it slow. It's almost like too slow. But it won't be slow the next day. So those are some of those things there. Then the flower girl and the ring bearer, and all I can say about that is I have no idea. And that's part of the fun of the whole thing. Sometimes they're so slow, but it's fun to watch them. They practice it, but the next day you do not know what's going to happen. And then you set that expectation to, you know, even like, oh, that's going to be fun to see how that's going to all work out. I mean, yes, have your contingency plan, but don't shame those children. They're just having a good day, and that's how it's going to be. You're not shooting for perfection. You're shooting for meaning. And then after everybody's in place, then the bride and her father, or a father or an escort, are next. Of course, before they start walking, the music change. And when she, the mother of the bride, hears the music changes, she leads in standing up and turning around. And what that means is that people then stand up and turn around. Now, for the day of the wedding, just do the rehearsal. Okay, so once you've done all of that, there's actually the to practice the ceremony, and I have a sample ceremony that you can look at. And you know what happens then is there's the processional, and I would call it the several songs. The first thing is the giving of the bride, and the giving of the bride is, who gives this woman to this man? And then you practice that. The father often says, her mother and I. Or sometimes we do. And sometimes the mother stands up right there with her husband. We do. And then what happens is the father takes his daughter's hand and puts it in the hand of the groom. So you practice that. The next day, it just goes that way. So then comes the invocation in purpose of marriage. As marriage instituted by God, so practice that. You know, do the whole thing so that everyone knows what's going to happen the next day, and I have a sample for you. But you can do anything you want there. I'm just giving you the sample. Then comes the declaration of intent, and that comes after the invocation, the purpose of marriage. It's something like, now that you've heard God's will for marriage, do you intend to abide by it? What is your answer? And they both do. And what you're doing is you're establishing the covenant here. This is a God-honoring marriage. Then after that is the exchange of the vows. They could write them themselves, or you could say repeat after me, and they can go online. I mean, in some ways, when you're having that meeting 2 months earlier, go ahead and flag that, you know, what type of vows are you talking about? And you can share the vows that you have or the vows that you've researched. Then comes the lighting of the unity candle. If you don't do the unity candle, there's often the stand ceremony. And there's other things that you can do. And then there's the scripture reading. Now, all along here, you can slip in a solo when there's the lighting of the unity candle. The scripture reading can be read by an uncle or a father, mother, or a friend. You know, there's little roles along here, and those are all things, again, now that you've had this class, you can even go back and here's a ceremony and show them the sample ceremony that we're giving you here. There, Steve Elzinga in the Christian Leaders Planner has all sorts of weddings resources. You could do it that way. You know, the point is to develop your own wedding canon of material. If you're only doing one, you know, you've got to make some decisions. But here's the one that, you know, I'll share with you that I'm comfortable with, that is pretty timeless, very historical. Then there's the message. You know, I like to keep my messages between 5 and 10 minutes total. I think 5 minutes is beautiful. You can say a lot in 5 minutes, but you can say a lot in 10 minutes, but it doesn't feel long. There are some traditions in the world that the meditation or the message is a half hour. There are places where I've been asked to give a half hour message, and the bride and the groom and everyone sit down and then come back up to their stage position. Local expectations are all over the map. Then after the message, then by the authority, you know, then I'll say amen. And a lot of times I'll have a little prayer there for the couple. And then by the authority granted in me through a minister of the gospel and the state of Virginia or whatever, I now pronounce you husband and wife in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What God has brought together, let no one separate. I have that resource for you that you can look at, or you can find another one. And then you present the bride, and ladies and gentlemen, after the declaration of marriage, you may kiss the bride. So declaration of marriage, and then, you know, Jason and Jordan, Jason, you may kiss your bride. So now they're married, you've declared them married, now they kiss, and then after they kiss, you present them, husband and wife in the name of the, you've already done that. You present them to everybody. I want to introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Jason and Jordan Smith. Then everybody claps, and then the processional begins, and they walk down the aisle. That's it. And you're going to do great. And it seems like overwhelming, but it's really, if you just kind of go through the process, a lot of the stress is gone. Now, I will tell you that that putting this all together seems overwhelming to many people, but you will do fine. And especially when you like taken the class and you've taken all this information in, and you're processing things and you're doing some of your own research, when it actually comes to the day, you will find that you'll be very effective as a Christian wedding officiant minister.